Fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And I hope the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh on you. Because we too can be surprised, no matter our age, by what the Holy Spirit can do to us and in us, through us, and does do. We too can be woken up and surprised by the Spirit, just as the disciples of Jesus and the others gathered together in that celebration day of the Feast of the First Fruits. That's actually a celebration that they were already there for, something we don't always understand. 50 days after Passover. This is also 50 days after Easter for us when we celebrate Pentecost. So they were all celebrating there, although those who had known and had followed Jesus probably were not particularly, you know, celebratory feeling. They're probably feeling a little lost still, a little bit still in mourning, a little bit directionless. They didn't know where they were going, but they were, anyway, they were there for the celebration. Maybe feeling like those dry bones we heard about in Ezekiel. Those dry bones Ezekiel had to prophesy to bring them some life, some hope, some reason for living. Sometimes we need a reason for living too, don't we? We need to be inspired. Those people in the story from Ezekiel, they've been in a rut because they've been held in captivity. They needed some hope. They needed it big time. And they got it because God, through the prophet Ezekiel, breathed life into those dry bones of the Hebrew people. The word spirit is a translation of the Hebrew word ruach. Ruach. It almost sounds like wind, doesn't it? Ruach. And the Greek word pneuma, meaning breath or wind, is the breath of life itself, so powerful that it can bring new life to what was thought to be dead. Ever felt you were in a rut? Ever been in a rut about anything? Wondered if anything could or would change? I have. Ever been in a rut spiritually? I have. Dried up. And yet here I am today, standing in front of you, an older woman, a woman no less, kind of have a lot of arthritis, and so that's why I kind of move a little stiffly, way past retirement age, rusty from disuse because I hardly ever maybe once a year get to preach anymore, talking to you about the rejuvenating power of the Holy Spirit. So if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. Believe me, it can, no matter what your age or stage of life is. So let's begin by believing there is hope for each of us individually and as a community of faith to feel that spirit. Let the mighty winds blow, even violent winds that can change the landscape, change the course of things, let them blow. Scary thought, right? What if winds really, oops, there's the air conditioning, but that's not a very strong wind. Mighty winds and flames of fire to the Hebrews often symbolize the presence of God. So that these words were used was typical and understandable for the people of that time to experience the presence of God, winds and flames. The Spirit can come as a strong wind, flames of fire. Sometimes we hear it coming as a gentle dove, a still small voice of God. Or even, get this, a wild goose. One thing that we can all agree on is that the first Pentecost celebration was certainly an exciting event. And as I said, Pentecost was actually a Jewish festival. To the Hebrews, it was known as the Festival of Weeks. And so we celebrate that 50 days after Passover, 50 days after Easter for us. And the Jews had poured in from everywhere in the known world for these festivities. And in other words, just about everyone was invited. No wonder Jerusalem was crowded in that first Pentecost. No wonder so many different languages were being spoken. There was such a diversity as you were apt to get at this time in one place. In other words, the time was absolutely perfect for the Spirit of God to descend on the church. It was also the perfect time to bring in a completely new era in the history of humankind. And that's what happened. And that's why we celebrate this as the birthday of the church. Because it would usher in an era like no other. It would transcend national borders, and it would transcend every known language. It would ultimately draw all people together without regard to gender or color or economic status or any of the other variables that have served to divide people through the ages. That was the intention of the Spirit of God on that day, intending to build up the church. This is what happens when the Spirit comes. Our world is shaken. Our senses come alive, and we know that we stand on holy ground. Over the centuries, many symbols have been used to illustrate that mystery and power of the Holy Spirit. However, there's something really unusual about this, because Dr. Mickey Anders of Pikeville, Kentucky, has discovered what may be the most unusual symbol of all for the Holy Spirit, the wild goose. In a sermon published on the internet, Dr. Anders says he made this discovery when he was studying Celtic Christianity, the name for that unique brand of Christianity that's over in Ireland and so forth. Part of Irish Christianity's uniqueness came from its geographical isolation. It was robust, creation-loving, Christ-loving, and adventurous. And perhaps you've heard one of Celtic Christianity's famous prayers of blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be upon your back. May the sun always warm thy face. And may the rain fall softly on thy fields. These Celtic monks lived in poverty. They were unworldly and they practiced humility. They often chose their places of prayer in the remotest places in worship, in nature. And so they chose the wild goose as their symbol of Christianity, representing the Holy Spirit. And it might sound a little strange to us, but has a long tradition in Ireland. Dr. Anderson contrasts the image of the Holy Spirit as a wild goose with the image of the Holy Spirit as a dove. Real difference there, you think? When you hear of the Spirit descending like a heavenly dove on you, you hear harps and strings softly playing and get a peaceful feeling out of that, right? The doves. The image of a wild goose descending upon you is a different matter altogether. A wild goose is one noisy, bothersome bird, and it jars us out of our complacency. A wild goose stirs up feelings that are quite extraordinary. I wonder if it isn't time for a wild goose kind of Christianity here. We in the church need to be shaken out of our complacency somewhat sometimes. Be shaken out of our sanctuaries and into the streets. So it's easy. Sometimes we find it easy to use the church as a retreat rather than as a springboard, a place to go out into the world. We need such an image, says Dr. Anders, to correct our overly safe and overly sweet image of the Spirit. Second thing that we need is to be shaken shaken from our safe relationships and into contact with people who need to hear about Christ. One of the reasons people come to church is to develop friendships, and maybe some of you came for that very reason. And that's good, and that allows us to build one another up. But what happens if we restrict our friendships only to people at church? In order for us to have an impact on our world, we need to have contact with people who are in the world. Kind of fast forwarding here because we need a little spirit to go on here in order to have a wild goose Pentecost. I'm not feeling it right now. Can help most of us because most of us are in a rut spiritually a lot of the time. Our faith has become routine or perhaps even quite anemic, and we're going through the motions, but our heart is not really in it. We need to reclaim the fire of that first Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came upon the followers of Christ in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost, they were totally shaken out of their complacency and apathy. Suddenly they understood their mission and they embraced it, and they became a force to be reckoned with. Are we a force to be reckoned with? They became a fellowship, unlike any of the world had known before. And that's what we need as well. Let's pray that this Holy Spirit will come over us like a wild goose. Can I hear it honking yet? to share with you a little story called Happy Birthday Church. It comes from a book that I have had for many years and love the little readings in it called Reaching for Rainbows. You might think this is a little preposterous, but it's got a point. Happy Birthday Church. There was once a church that had only party rooms. The sessions party room, the music party room, the feasting party room, the do justice party room, the love mercy party room, the touch lepers party room, and in the center of the building was a large room with an altar and a cross, and that was God's party room. Is that what we're in right now? God's party room? I wish I'd brought birthday hats for all of you. Those noisy blower things that they have. There was in this church an air of festivity and brightness that could not be denied. The people outside the church pointed their fingers and shook their heads. Something should be done about that church. They were especially upset when they saw that the members wore party hats and smiles both inside and outside the church. Other congregations came to take a look and were shocked when they saw this church having so much fun during a worship service. Sacrilegious, screamed the crowd, but the people in the church just smiled at them and went right on doing things like taking people in wheelchairs to the park and playing ball with them. When everybody else was collecting canned goods for the poor, this church bought pizza and marched right into the dingy, dirty, paint-peeling apartments and sat down to eat with the tenants. Quite a change. They held picnics for the old folks' home, and old men ran races while the congregation stamped their feet in applause. It was at one of these picnics that some of the members climbed up on the top of the roof and shouted, "Good news! Now we can get them for disturbing the peace," said one of the outsiders. The police arrived with sirens, ready for an arrest, and came out 2 hours later wearing party hats and smiles. One Sunday afternoon, the entire congregation met at the jail and passed out flowers to the prisoners. The following week, after bread and wine and much laughter at the Lord's table, the people went to the hospital and asked to visit all of the people who needed to have their hands held and their brows mopped and to speak with them of life. "Disgraceful," shouted the crowd. "They must be stopped." So the crowd appealed to the governing body of the denomination, and this committee of respected church people went to see for themselves. "Do you deny the charge of heresy?" asked the committee. "Do you deny that you've mocked the church and the Lord?" The people of the church looked into the stern faces and smiled at them. They held out their hands to the committee and led them to the birthday cake party room. There on the table sat a large cake, decorated beautifully in doves descending and red flames and words that read, "Happy Birthday, Church." The people began cutting cake and blowing up balloons and handing out party hats to the committee members. Wait, cried the chairperson. "Can't you take anything seriously?" "Yes," said the people. "We take our commitment to the Lord very seriously indeed." "You don't take it seriously at all," interrupted the chairperson in a loud voice. "You have parties and wear silly hats and blow up balloons and sing and dance and have fun. Do you call that commitment?" The people smiled at the chairperson and asked him if he'd like a glass of wine. The chairperson hit his fist on the table and he said, "I don't want wine and I don't want birthday cake. We're here to reprimand you. We're here to show you that you're wrong. Can't you be serious?" "We are," said the people. "We're asking you to take communion with us." "With birthday cake?" screamed the chairperson. "Outrageous." You think it's outrageous? Yeah. "Outrageous? We ask you to sit at our table and sup with us. God gave the Holy Spirit to believers, and that is something to celebrate. It's an occasion for a party. We are celebrants of the gift of life. We are community. We are God's church. Why are your faces so red when we are trying to do justice and love mercy? Why do you shake your fists at us when we are trying to discover the hurting and begin the healing? We are overjoyed that we can be the church, a community of people who are many and yet one, who are different, but who walk together and welcome any who would walk with us. When we weep, there is someone to weep with us and to affirm us and to take us to a party. When we see injustice, we must be about God's business of freeing the oppressed. When we are faithless, we have God's promise of forgiveness Isn't it remarkable, right, remarkable that we can be God's good news? Is it any wonder we have a church full of party rooms? There is so much love to celebrate. The committee stared at the people, and the people moved closer to them and put their arms around them. And then the committee chairperson stepped up to the table and sliced a piece of birthday cake, took a bite, and laughed out loud. He began slicing and passing out the cake. When the wine was poured and the hands were held, the chairperson raised his glass and said, "There is so much love to celebrate. Happy birthday, church." I'm waiting. Happy birthday, church.
Happy birthday,
yay.
Church.
Okay. All right, my little flames and everyone out there. You've come to life. This is great. I would like to issue you now an invitation and a challenge, because my sermon is over. Probably thankfully some of you are saying, but nowhere near the usual, 20 minutes of typical sermon time. So I want to issue you an invitation to practice the spirit of Pentecost that I've been sharing with you here. Right here, when the service is over and we disperse, I would like every single person gathered here to move to the fellowship hall party room behind us and celebrate and greet one another and be in community with one another. And I mean everyone, even those of you who just hang out for maybe a little bit in the gathering room and then go home. Or especially, issue an invitation to the choir here, who often we don't see in the fellowship hall for time of fellowship. For everyone, for those of you who say, I just really don't like other people. I'm a little shy. I got other things I want to do. What are some of the reasons that you might say, "Oh, I don't want to go in there"? Well, what's going to happen is that we're going to, as Jeff and I go out, and we're going to open those doors back there, those folding doors that hardly ever get opened, except to let the choir sneak in. And we're going to open those doors, and rather than greeting you out in the hallway there, I'm going to greet you back there in the party room. And you're going to see that it's all been decorated for a party. And we have nice food to share. And I hope that you will mingle today, just for a little while. I'd like you to be the spirit of the living God, the spirit of Pentecost, living and breathing with fire here, folks. And as John Wesley, the reformer John Wesley said, as we breathe in, he reminds us to breathe in the compassion and the generosity and the love of God, and breathe that out to everyone else that you meet. Amen.